You may be seated. Thank you.
Praise the Lord.
Get your Bibles open to Matthew. Turn your Bibles to Matthew if you would. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26. What a God. What a God. Since Brother Jerry Wyatt felt like he needed to speak in Swahili yesterday, I thought about speaking in Spanish first this morning. But I'm not going to. I'm not going to. Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Let's read several verses here this morning. That's my plan. Matthew 26, look at verse, thank you for your help. Verse number 6, now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him, listen carefully, I believe God's got something for us this morning, a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had an indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. I'd like to preach a message this morning. To use the phrase in the scripture, I'd like to preach, to what purpose is this waste? Or maybe we could entitle it, what a waste. What a waste. And I state that from the onlooker's eyes. I'm not stating that from what Jesus said, because we'll see what Jesus said in a moment. I'm going to pray and I'll jump right into the message. Father, I need you this morning. I need your help. I need your spirit. I need your guiding. I need your wisdom. I need clarity of mind. I need you to work through me. Lord, I don't want to preach a great sermon today. I want to preach a message that you have for us. And I'd ask that you'd help me. And I'd ask that if there's somebody here that doesn't know you as Savior, that they get saved today. All of us that are saved, I pray that we would realize that what we do for you is not a waste. Pray that we would understand that we would do it more fervently, more urgently, and more diligently than we've ever done it before. In Jesus' name, amen. Look at this story here, and of course, I appreciate Pastor the opportunity to preach this morning. I never take it lightly. And I'd ask that as I jump into the message that you would ask, don't ask what God has for your neighbor, but ask God, what do you have for me this morning? I believe God can speak to you individually this morning. Brother Ray Young really helped me one message. He's helped me a lot of messages, but he helped me one specific time he preached, and he said, it doesn't bother me when I get spoken to and convicted by the Holy Spirit and go to the altar. What bothers me if I can sit through a 30-minute message and nothing ever speaks to me? Nothing ever talks to me. He doesn't mention anything in an entire message, and so as I've spent time with the Lord, not only over the last several hours, but after, you know, before teaching class and yesterday in preparation, but for the last several weeks, the Lord's been working on this message. And again, I hope that it's something that God will use in your life. I know he's used it in my life. We're going to go back to verse number 1, just to kind of get a running start of the story. You look, verse number 1, it says, and it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples. So before he speaks here, let's see what he said in chapter 25. I was going to start Matthew 1 and just read all the way through, but I'll just go back to, I know you'd want to, and you'd be shouting the entire time, but we got a class after this, so sorry about that. We got midterms to prepare for. Matthew chapter 25, look at the stories here. If you'll look back at the beginning of chapter 25, we see the story of the five wise virgins, the five foolish virgins. We see the man with the five talents, the man that was given two talents, the one that was given one talent. So we see the stories here that Jesus is already explaining to them. I'd love to see Jesus one day face to face and hear him tell some of these stories. He was the master preacher and is the master preacher. He's my Savior. He's my friend. What a God. Never want to get over him. I've been saved now 41 years. But I don't want to get over my salvation. Man, what a God, what a friend, what a help through all these years, through the challenges and through the awesome times that he's given me. But I see this story. So he gives through several stories here of the virgins, and then he talks about those that were given talents. And then if you'll look down a little bit farther, he continues here and he talks about how they helped him. Look at verse number, verse number 35. It says, "For I was hungered and ye gave me meat, and I was thirsty and ye gave me drink." By the way, I'm about hungry right now. But he says, "I was a stranger and he took me in, naked and he clothed me. I was sick and he visited me. I was in prison and he came unto me." And then he then said, "Shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered and fed thee, and or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick and in prison and came unto thee?" And the king shall answer and say unto him, and it continues the story here. Look down at verse number 42, it says, "For I was hungered and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty and ye gave me no drink." I should have read during verse number 40. "Insomuch as ye've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me." Then he says, "For when I was hungered, ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you took me not in. Naked and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, ye visited me not." He continues here and he's basically saying, whatever we do, stay with me here. Whatever we do for those less fortunate than us, we're doing it for him. As you go out on the weekend, you're doing it for him. As we knock on doors, we do it for him. As you go to class, I hope you're doing it for him. As you spend time with him, you're doing it for him. Everything we do, we should do for him. And I have had people, you know, use this verse. If you give a cup of cold water, you give the water in my name, you know, you're blessed. And I had one person who gave me a cup of cold water. He said, "The only reason I'm giving this to you is for my reward." And I thought that was kind of awkward, but I've had unique situations. That's not the only one I would spend all day long telling unique situations in ministry. But then he tells him in verse number 2 of chapter 26, go back to chapter 26, look down to verse number 2. "You know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified." So he's just a few days here, just a little while before he becomes crucified, or he gives his life for you and for me. Then it continues, and he more than likely, as we see here in verse, let me jump down. We saw in verse number 6, when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper. And I don't think at this time Simon had leprosy. I believe he was probably someone that was healed of leprosy, but that's how people knew him. This was Simon the leper. I'm sure the lame man, for the rest of his life, he was called, "There's the lame man Jesus healed." He's like, "I'm not lame anymore." He's jumping. He's running around. It's amazing that when Jesus healed, he always healed completely. They didn't need physical therapy, or what some people would call pain therapy, okay? They didn't need it afterwards. They didn't need to follow up with a doctor. I love the healing power of Jesus. I've given my story several times, but I was born with cerebral palsy. And the church praying for me for 6 months, God healed me completely. My brother said that God didn't heal me completely. Somebody asked me recently, "Does God perform miracles?" I believe every single day when I wake up, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. And every day when I wake up, some people say, "Man, are you a morning person?" No, I'm not a morning person. But after I realize God's given me another day to serve him, God's given me energy, God's given me power, God's given me a voice, God's given me his spirit, God's given me the church, God's given me his word, we ought to do something with it. But then we see the story here. And this story, it's a very unique story. Cannot imagine the audaciousness or the audacity. This woman, I don't know if it was Chanel number 5. I don't know what kind of perfume it was. But it says it was precious. It was ointment. It was something that somebody would look at that saying, "That's valuable. That's costly." She brought it to Jesus and she poured it on his head. Now, I don't know if she said, "Excuse me." I don't know if she may have wanted maybe a plate to be passed to her. I'm not sure the whole scenario, but I think she did it primarily and only for Jesus. We look at the story here. She poured it on his head as he sat at meat. Now, I would think that out of everybody, I think that these disciples would probably be somebody that they would be someone that would be thrilled that somebody was spending time with Jesus. Maybe they were upset that he was cutting into their time. And maybe on occasion you've sat with someone, obviously there's no one like Jesus on this earth, but maybe you've sat with a leader and then somebody steps up and starts a conversation. You're thinking, "This is our time right now?" So I'm not sure if the disciples were upset that Jesus was there, and it didn't bother Jesus because Jesus was there for everybody, not just for his clique. Everybody still with me? Not just for those who are his closest followers. And by the way, God wants to spend time with you this morning. So I see here To what purpose was this waste? Look back at the passage, verse number 8. They saw it, they had indignation. What purpose was this waste? I'm sure Judas Iscariot probably thought of the next verse there. For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. And as you know, and as I know, Judas is the one that held the bag. He was a treasurer. And he was probably the one saying, yeah, we should probably have sold that. Not because he cared for the poor, as the Bible says, but because he cared for himself. And sometimes that's why we do ministry. Everybody still with me? It's our name. I hope I win the program. Hope my bus route. Hope my division. Hope my... Just a reminder, it's God's. And I pray that God uses you. I'd rather have a full bus than an empty bus. I'd rather have a full class than an empty class. I'd rather have many visitors than no visitor. But let's make sure that this program time is about Him, not about you. Although I hope if you win a great reward, win it. You know, win the program, win the contest. I hope that when the adult contest, we've got several teachers even on the platform. So let me move on here, off the subject. Let's move on here. I hope that they win too. Everybody's a winner. Let's continue here. Okay, let's continue here. So Jesus says, look here, he says, let's continue reading. He says, when he understood it, he said, why trouble ye her? Or he says, why are you bothering her? Don't you like it when somebody fends for you and says, would you just leave them alone? How many of you ever had somebody fend for you before? How many of you have never had somebody fend for you? Okay, I'm fending for you right now. There you go, you're fended for. Let's continue here. Verse number 11, it says, for ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. There's some people that let's just eradicate the poor. You know, let's eradicate poverty, not the poor. Okay, let's eradicate poverty. That didn't sound good. Oh, okay. Let's just take away. Stop. Okay. Don't write that in your notes. All right. That was not in the notes. Okay. But sometimes people say, let's just do this program and that program. Let's just get rid of poverty. What does Jesus say here? You're always going to have the poor with you. Then verse number 12, for in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my, what's the next word? Burial. And then it says, verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. Three quick points, three quick observations. It's almost too simple to have in a message, but it's what God gave me. It's what God told me to tell you today. So somebody needs it. Maybe one person, maybe everybody, but I believe it's what God has for us at this hour. Let me give you three quick observations. Number one, the first observation, it's not a waste. It's almost too simple to even write down. You might want to put your notebook away, might want to put your pen away. It's so simple. It wasn't a waste. Now, they thought it was a waste. Let me explain to you. Her paying for the perfume was not a waste. Her pouring the perfume on his head was not a waste. I would love to see Jesus physically this morning, though I'm not ready to go on the next train, all right? But one day I will see him. And when I see him, I know we got all the questions. I'd ask him this if I saw him. And I'd ask him that if I saw him. But I guarantee we're going to see him face to face, and we're not going to have words to say. We're not going to have anything to ask him. We're probably just going to go to him and say, God, thank you. Jesus, thank you. Because we're going to realize where we were headed and where we're now at because of him. But I look at the lesson this morning, and it wasn't a waste. Her persistence wasn't a waste. I don't know if I should give this testimony in public, but I'm going to do it this morning. And again, I'm very thankful for a godly mom. For 12 years, my mom worked as a nurse at a mental hospital. And before you start snickering, she would come home. I saw bruises on her arms many, many times and said, Mom, why are you doing this? And Mom said, I'm doing it so you can go through Christian school. See, it was in that Christian school at the age of 11 that I surrendered to serve my life to Jesus. It was at Christian school at the age of 13, God called me to be a missionary, and I thought maybe it was just going to be one location. Now God has allowed me to serve missionaries in a lot of locations all over Europe, all over Africa, and I've had the privilege of seeing the Wilders' amazing work there, and I'm thrilled that they're here this morning. I'm thrilled the daughter's in college, and I'm sure she's ready to preach this morning too, but I'm glad that they're here this morning. Actually, she gave me this message. No, she didn't. Let's continue here. Just trying to regain my composure with laughter, so stay with me. But I thank the Lord. My mom's in heaven. And many times, I know she can't hear me, but I often say, Mom, thank you. Thank you. You know what I say is, I said it to the Lord as I woke up this morning. I said, Lord, thank you so much. But then I said, hey, Mom, I know you can't hear this, But thanks for realizing that your investment wasn't a waste. Wasn't a waste, Mom. My dad's health's not good these days. Saw him recently and could not believe the deterioration of his health. Several times while I was with my dad, I just broke down and my dad said, Jeremy, it's okay. His body's not here for good. He said, I don't know how long I have, but I'm going to do what I can while I can. See, I'm glad my dad was a soul winner until the age of 69 or 70 years old. He would stop people in grocery stores. He would stop people in restaurants. I remember he embarrassed me so many times in restaurants. He'd walk by like if he was the manager. How's that food? And I'm like, Dad, it's none of your business, Dad. Like, leave him alone. Let him finish the meal. He'd say, how's the food? And he'd walk around literally. I think they thought he was the owner or the manager. And then he'd just kind of walk up and say, he said, you know, most people miss heaven by about 18 inches. He'd just kind of walk around. Hey, how's your food? How was the, man, that looks like a good appetizer. I thought at one point he was just going to dip in and just, man, that's some good salsa right there. He'd say, most people know about Jesus, but they've never accepted him. I've seen him do it in grocery stores. He's amazing in grocery stores. He can't do it these days. He can barely get around these days. But I've seen him in grocery stores. I've seen him walk by somebody, and he'll just kind of throw it out there. Hey, you know most people miss heaven by about 18 inches? And he'll just keep walking. Like, he'll say it, and he'll just keep walking. I have seen people follow my dad around the grocery store. Sir, he'll ignore them just to see if they're interested. Sir, Jeremy, do you hear something? I don't hear anything, Dad. And they'll just walk around, and when they stop, he'll pull out a track, and he'll witness them right in the grocery store. You can't do that. Don't tell my dad that. Hopefully, we're at least doing that on the bus routes. Everybody still with me this morning? And I believe we are. I believe we are, but when you stopping at gasoline, give somebody a track. You stop at a coffee shop, give them a track. You stop at a grocery store, give them a track. Give them the gospel. Had a lady 2 weeks ago, I was visiting a home and right by the church. It was Columbia. I was visiting right by the church. Lady that I recognized because her son graduated last year from our school. I said, how many years have you been in our church? She said, 40 years. I said, how did you get saved? She said, somebody the year before I got saved gave me a track. She said, I don't know why I kept it. I don't know why I put it in a drawer, but I put it in a drawer. She said, I didn't need it for an entire year, but a year later, I opened up the drawer. I saw the track. I needed it, and I've been in church for 40 years. Some people say, tracks don't work. Talk to all the people who have gotten saved because somebody gave them a track. Now, if you get an opportunity, give them the full gospel, but if you don't, at least give them a track. At least give them a chance. Bob Hughes says, I can't win everybody to Christ, but everybody ought to die with at least a track in their hand. Give them a track. Give them a track. I pray often two things. I mentioned this in a chapel message, I think, a year or so ago. Pray for two things. Number one, lead me to the person that's nearest hell, the person that would die this week without Jesus. Lead me to that person. I'm going to give them one more chance. See, I've got two uncles that are burning in hell, and I want to give everybody one more chance. You know what? They've probably been crying. One of them has been crying since 96 in hell. He didn't believe in hell. You know, he believes in hell now. For 26 years, been burning. I want to give somebody else a chance. But in this story, wasn't a waste. It wasn't. You know, the little lad that gave up his lunch, he probably thought, what a waste. I mean, I can imagine. My teenagers aren't giving their lunch for you. Everybody still with me? I mean, I don't know what happened. I don't know if the teenager's like, you know, if he's elbowing the teenager, like, no, Jesus needs this. He's like, no, but I'm hungry. That's okay. You can eat later. You've probably eaten 3 or 4 meals already today, buddy. Could you imagine the story there? But he probably thought this is a waste. But I guarantee when he saw Jesus multiplying and he saw the 5,000 men and the women and the children eat, you know, he's probably right. That was my lunch. That was my lunch. Do I win Spirit Week? That was my lunch. Let's continue here. Sorry, off the subject. David could have thought that fighting Goliath was a waste until he carried the fat head of Goliath off. Peter could have thought that Pentecost was a waste. What can one message do? And then 3,000 were saved and baptized. Listen very carefully. We have yet to see what God can do through your life and through my life when we're wholly yielded to the Holy Spirit. It's amazing what God can do if we'll just let him do it. Stephen could have thought, why preach this truth? It's a waste. I might lose my life, and he did. But can you imagine as he saw Jesus face to face and probably heard the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Hannah could have thought, my prayer is just a small prayer. I'd love to have a child, but would he really answer my prayer until God gave her a child? She could have thought, what a waste, but it really wasn't a waste. Mary could have thought, why would I want to stay pure? Stay with me here. By the way, I think everybody here, all of us should stay pure. Wherever you're at, listen carefully. Wherever you're at, whatever you've done, from today on, say, I'm going to live pure. I'm going to live clean. I'm going to live holy. Some people are hounded by your past. Put your past behind you. Say, Lord, I'm going to give you this. There may be some consequences. There may be some things. But from today forth, I'm going to live holy. I'm going to live pure. I'm going to live clean for you. Andrew could have thought, well, I just won one person to Christ that we see in Scripture, my brother. But could you imagine what Peter did? He could have thought, what a waste. The widow could have thought, all I have is two mites. Might as well keep them for myself. And we're still telling our testimony all these years later. Let me remind you, your parents' sacrifice was not a waste. Man, I'll never get over parents who love me enough to take me to church. I'll never be able to thank my parents enough for never allowing alcohol in our home. Never allowing cigarettes in our home. I thank the Lord for parents who put a great wedge between us and sin and said, don't go there. Don't go down that road. Stop. As a flagman, don't go down there. It's for destruction. I thank the Lord for my parents. Maybe you had a sibling who sacrificed. Their sacrifice wasn't a waste. If you were reached on a bus route, your bus captain's sacrifice wasn't a waste. Your pastor's sacrifice. We have several pastors here this morning represented. Your sacrifice is not a waste. Your sacrifice is not a waste. I look up here and see Brother and Mrs. Fish. Sorry. Voices. Sorry, I need some more water, right? Come on now. Because fish need water. Okay. Sorry, that was bad. He's going up here like here. But nobody can see them. Okay, he's way back. Okay. Let me just tell you, your sacrifice was not a waste. Brother and Mrs. Pins, your sacrifice was not a waste. Miss Fletcher, I saw you in here. Mrs. Moffat, I know she's here. Your sacrifice is not a waste. I know that these men, we all kind of went to school together around the same time. Their sacrifice is not a waste. Everybody still with me this morning? I see Brother Jesse up here, and I saw Brother Stubblefoot back there, and he often says, I tried to help you graduate, but you fought me the entire way. And not just me, but students in general. And I thank the Lord, his sacrifice is not a waste. I think my Brother Rob Osgood back here and several others. I can't see everybody back there. Brother Goodall, appreciate your investment. Now his sons are investing in my sons as they work together. Your sacrifice was not a waste. Listen carefully. Anything for you to do for Jesus, it's not a waste. It's not a waste. Your youth pastor's sacrifice was not a waste. Your Sunday school teacher's sacrifice was not a waste. Your Christian school teacher's sacrifice was not. Your coach's sacrifice was not a waste. Your grandparents' sacrifice was not a waste. I'm so thankful that my grandparents were saved. I'm glad that my great-grandparents were saved. I think my great-great-grandparents were saved. And I decided early on, I kept hearing chapel messages. New converts are excited for God, but people that have been saved for a while, they just kind of lost the fire. I decided, Lord, keep me with the fire. Give me the fire. Give me passion. Give me urgency. Some of you have been saved. You're second, you're third, you're fourth-generation Christian. And even as I say that, you say, well, your Christianity is this or that. Make sure that you keep the fire. Your children need you to have it one day. Your church needs it. Your Sunday school class needs it. Your bus route needs it. Your college teacher's sacrifice was not a waste. Your college staff's sacrifice was not a waste. The soul winner that won you to Christ, his sacrifice was not a waste. You know what a waste is? Living life for you. Living life for you is a waste. Living life for money is a waste. You know money? I found out the money talks. How many figured that out? It says goodbye. Everybody still with me? Okay. So many people, I'm going to do this, and when I make all these money, and so many times I'm at missions conferences, or I'm talking to somebody at missions, and they say, if I had $1 million, I'd give it all to missions. And I'll say, what about right now? First I'll ask them, do you have $1 million? And they'll say, no, I don't have $1 million. But if you did have $1 million, would you give it all? And then I'll say, what are you giving right now? You know, because normally it's in comparison. It's easy to give something that we don't have. Everybody still with me? Let me state, college students, your sacrifice here in the college is not a waste. Why do I wake up early? Why do I get up tired? Why do I go to bed tired? And then I get up tired, and then I go to bed tired. How many know the scenario? Often I'll ask the guys, how many of you are tired? And everybody raises their hand except for the one asleep. And it's like, okay, I think he probably is too. Everybody still with me? It always interests me. Everybody's got their hands raised, and there's one. Yeah, he's probably tired too. Okay. Listen very carefully. Nothing you do for the Lord is a waste. I'll say it again. Nothing you do for the Lord is a waste. She probably thought, why am I doing this? Why am I pouring out? Why did I pay for it? Why am I giving it to them? Why are they ridiculing me? Why do they have indignation? Why? What a waste, they said. And she said, no, I'm not doing it for you. Let's continue here. Mark 9, verse 41, I told you that earlier, that even if we give a cup of water in his name, whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name because you belong to Jesus, verily I say unto you, ye shall not lose his reward. Everything you do for the Lord is rewarded. The Bible tells us to lay up treasures where? Matthew 6 tells us, verses 19 through 21. See, I've seen things rust. How many of you have seen something rust before? Okay. How many of you have seen things? I remember when I traveled back to Peru after we made it here and I went back about a month later. I'll never forget going to our closet. Everything was shut up. I didn't realize how bad the humidity was. And I opened our closet and everything was green. Every suit now matches every pair of dress pants, matched every shoe, matched every tie, matched every shirt, all perfectly color coordinated, completely green. I remember my wife had asked for one thing. She said, just bring my wedding dress back. Yeah, you guessed it. I opened it up. Looked at the top, unzipped it, it was completely green. I'm like, it didn't look like that when we got married. And I'm like, that doesn't look right. I thought, I'm gonna have a hard time bringing this back into customs. This is not gonna be good. And I remember calling her and I said, hey, I got an issue. She said, no, you can't bring the wedding dress. And I said, I haven't mentioned it yet. And she said, that's okay, it's just a dress. She said, as long as you make it back, that's the most important. I about choked up right there. Okay, let's continue here. Man, thank you, Jesus. Yeah, I about lost that one right there. Come on now. First observation, it was not a waste. Number two here, it wasn't for them. Everybody still with me? The same ones that had indignation, I didn't see her pouring it on John's head. I didn't see him pouring it on Lazarus' head. I mean, he was just glad to be alive. But could you imagine telling your sisters, you mean I went through death one time, I got to go back through it again? I mean, I don't think he was so thrilled that, you know, he comes back out like, come on, which sister was it? And just challenging situation there. But we'll go back to the passage with me, Matthew chapter 26. I'm almost done. Look at Matthew 26 here. Verse number 8, it says, but when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? Or in our vernacular, what a waste. What a waste. Now, she doesn't say it, but by her actions, you know what she says? I didn't do it for you. I didn't do it for you. It wasn't for you anyway. Stay with me here. Look at the other Matthew. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, please. Hebrews chapter 12. Can I encourage you something? Make sure that you do what you do for Jesus. You know, I've loved the pastors that God has given to me. I've loved the leaders that God has given to me, but I follow them as they follow Christ. But I keep my eyes focused on Jesus. That's why I've been here for 16 years. That's why we served the Lord for 7 years as missionaries. Why did I do that? Because I keep my eyes focused on Jesus. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And would you read the next three words for me? Let's try one more time. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Titus 2:13, I won't turn there for sake of time, but it says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. May I ask you this morning, whatever you do, do it for others. Don't do it for others, do it for Jesus. Drive a bus for Jesus. Go soul winning for Jesus. Pay captain's fees for Jesus. Everybody still with me? Did I lose you on that one? Visit long for Jesus. Make callbacks for Jesus. Swallow a goldfish for Jesus. Help in the afternoon program for Jesus. Teach a Sunday school class for Jesus. Have birthday Sunday for Jesus. Have pizza Sunday for Jesus. Disciple others for Jesus. Why do you get up early to pick up a bus, go to Chicago, bring people to church, take them to Sunday school, go to the morning service, take them back to Chicago, maybe eat lunch, pick up night riders, bring them back to church, go back to Chicago, drop them off, and then ride a preaching bus back to church? You do it for him. Everybody still with me? You do it for him. Three quick points. I said, number one, it wasn't a waste. The first observation, it wasn't a waste. Secondly, this morning, it wasn't for them. Listen carefully. If you do it for a bus captain, you do it for a little while. If you do it for a soul winning partner, if you do it for a teacher, I plead with you, don't go to the mission field for me or for Brother Bushy or for Pastor or anybody else. Go for Jesus. Don't go pastor because of any other reason other than for Jesus. Stay pure for Jesus. Live right for Jesus. Study the Bible for Jesus. Do well in your classes for Jesus. So I said, number one, it wasn't a waste. Number two, it wasn't for them. Number three, the last observation, it was not for that time. The whole reason she did it, she was looking for the time of his burial. She did it for his burial. The whole reason she poured the ointment or the perfume on his head was for his burial. What she did now was for what was to come later. Listen carefully. Sin is where you enjoy it now, but you regret it later. Serving the Lord is where you kind of have to work really, really hard now, and you somewhat enjoy it now, but I promise you, you'll enjoy it a whole lot more later. I enjoy serving the Lord. I enjoy preaching. I enjoy teaching. I enjoy singing. I enjoy soul winning. I enjoy discipling. I enjoy all that God has given to me to do, but I promise you, when I see him face to face, I'll be glad that I did it. Are you living a life now because of what's to come later, or are you living life now because of the moment? I see future pastors in this room. I see future missionaries in this room. I see loving wives in this room. I see phenomenal teachers in this room. I see godly mothers in this room. I see choir directors in this room. I see soundmen in this room. I see nursery workers in this room. I see nursery directors in this room and assistant pastors and song directors and so forth, choir directors and businessmen who will help when the Lord's work. I see bus directors in this room. It was not a waste. It was not for them. And it was not for that time, or it wasn't for now. Lastly, I'll say it was a good work. Listen carefully. It was a good work for a great Savior that asked us to give the gospel globally. Look, last thing we see. Look at verse number 13. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. Let me just ask you this. Do we have the right perspective of why we do what we do? Maybe you're sitting there and saying, man, I thought, man, bus route, sometimes it feels like a waste. Reading my Bible sounds feels like a waste. Living the right type of life feels like a waste. I see so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. I remind you this morning, let's keep our eyes focused on Jesus because it's not a waste. Because it's not for everybody else, it's for him. And number three, I'm looking at Jesus because one day he's coming back. If I can listen faintly, I can almost hear the trumpet. If I listen faintly, I can almost hear his voice. This morning as we go to the invitation, why don't you reassess? Am I doing what I do for Jesus? Or is there maybe some ulterior motive? Everyone's head bowed, everyone's eyes closed. I'm going to ask you to stand. Father, I'd ask that you'd be with the invitation as the piano plays in just a moment. Help us to realize, Lord, please help us to realize what we do is not a waste. What we do is for you and it's for nobody else. And help us to realize that the benefits are out of this world. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for your word. Thank you for what you gave me. Thank you for how you've helped me through this message. In Jesus' name.